Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons and Dragons podcast for kids. In Tavern Tales Junior, we'll take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the street.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior. This is a podcast for kids and adults. I am Alex. I play the role of Christopher, a dark elf rogue.
Hey, what's some interesting fact about Christopher, Chris, the dark elf rogue, that no one at the table knows yet?
Collecting gems off of the cavern walls of where I live.
Do you like to collect gems? Did you have a little kit that you used to have that your parents gave to you on like your 8th birthday?
Yeah.
And did it have an engraving on the case?
It had a picture of our family crest engraved onto it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Good job. I like that. That was a really nice color. Who is next, Alex?
Move it all over to Savannah.
Hello, my name is Savannah. I play the role of DJ Ashardalong. DJ is a dragonborn fighter folk hero. She protects people from evil. People in like towns that are being attacked by evil.
What's a hobby that DJ had when she was young? Let's say when she was just hatched from the egg and she was learning all of the different things from her mom and her stepdad. What's a hobby that DJ had?
Once DJ knew how to walk, she'd sometimes try and sneak to her stepdad, Ashardalong's mansion, to see what he's doing.
So she liked to spy on the adults when she was a kid.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
I'm Will, and I play the role of Flash. Flash is a fighter that can cast only a few spells. And I think he's a 5.
What's a hobby that Flash had when he was a very little boy? Now, that was a really long time ago because Flash is pretty old, right? How old is Flash?
He's only 17.
Oh, he's 7, and 17 is really old?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea. We always thought that Flash was a really old person because he's already been married and had kids. So I always figured Flash was in his late 40s. But to you, I would imagine that would be ancient, because how old are you, Will?
5.
And the next time we play this game, how old will you be?
17.
Really? We're going to wait that long to play the game again? All right, what's a hobby that Flash used to like to do?
He used to spy on his dad. He used to sneak into his dad's room and steal stuff from his drawers.
He used to steal from his parents? What was he sneak? What did he take from his dad's drawers? His underwear?
No.
What did he take then?
His guns.
He took his guns? Oh my goodness.
From the battles.
Because Flash's dad was a warrior and a hero?
No, he was in the army.
He was in the army. Was he a hero from the army or was he just a guy?
He was a hero.
Wow. Well, we'll get into that a bit more.
And he actually met a person from another game that I play.
Right. Yes. We'll get into that for sure. I will definitely lead to that.
Name Coasty.
Coasty.
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Sasha Kikian, who is a wizard tabaxi and is lawfully good. Sasha was an orphan.
An orphan? I had no idea. She doesn't know who her parents are at all?
Nope. Her dad disowned her after going into grief after her mom died from a special cat disease called methicillosis. But one of her hobbies growing up, because she lived in an orphanage for 5 years before she got adopted, although she was adopted several times and then disowned from those people, but while she was a kid, she never trusted anyone because they would always leave her eventually. She knew that no matter who she met and no matter who they would be, she would leave them eventually or they would leave her. And so she learned to trust only herself, digging deeper into only self-trust. But not long before, there was this one guy. His name was Mark. Mark always was there. He taught her a little bit of magic, and she picked up on that magic surprisingly really fast. And so Mark was so kind that he actually paid for her to go to school. Mark was this one awesome person. But then, sadly, Mark died from the same disease that her mama died from.
Oh, Mark was a tabaxi as well?
Yes. Oh, a hobby. Yes. She learned to trust herself, so what she would always do is draw little pictures of her hanging out with her invisible friends. Because she didn't really have any real friends, because they would always leave her. But her invisible friends never really left her. Their names were Boulder, Colonia, and Derek.
That is a pretty intense story. I really, really like...
pretty long.
I really like your hobby, drawing pictures of your character with... your invisible friends, Boulder, Colonia, and Derek. These hobbies are very interesting. Let's see if we can get them to come into play today in some fashion. In order to catch up to where we are in the game, because it's been 2 weeks since we last played, I'll ask the table at large, where are all of your characters right now?
In the vent system!
In a vent system.
In the Gouldwick's house.
In the Gouldwick's house. Who are the Gouldwicks?
The enemies of the Tuffers.
Who are the Tuffers?
They're Christopher's
family. My pyramid! It's getting confusing. Maybe one person at a time can give the answers
Christopher's
here.
Christopher's family!
Where do the Tuffers and the Gouldwicks live?
They live in Menzo Baranzan.
That is exactly right. And where is Menzo Baranzan?
In the Underdark, deep below the ground of the Earth.
But stretches far and wide underneath cities like Fairhaven. But the world is called Faerun. The four of you are not alone. You are also joined by...
Georgington.
And Flama.
They are in the back of the group, but you guys are all down in the vents. So let us, the five of us at this table, in the world of our imagination, we will sink down out of our chairs, through the floor, falling through our earth, and into the world of Faerun, where lightning scratches and crackles across the sky, thunder booms as a giant storm washes in across the Sword Coast with a deluge and torrent of rainwater coming down upon the city of Waterdeep. But we're falling through the rain. We're falling through the puddles and through the torrents of river water flowing through the rivers of the woods. And we're falling through that down into the rock, the bedrock of Faerun itself. And we're falling from there into the city, the cavern of Menzo Baranzan. The glowing light upon the middle column of Menzo Baranzan shows that it is now almost night again.
Daddy, I feel like I see the character on that.
We're falling from there down to a specific house, a pretty house with gold gilding on the walls in the front and the columns. And where two guards used to stand, we fall through for a moment to find them tied up in a sewer system underneath that house. And then we travel back up a moment and into the house proper, where five or six stalwart adventurers creep sneakily through a vent system and into a large venting chamber where a furnace glows within. The five of you, six of you, but the four of you specifically are now sitting or standing in this furnace room. What do you do now.
Is there a walk by can I open?
Yes, there is an access panel that leads into the house proper from here. There are also several other access ports, like open vent areas for the hot air to travel through the house. But there are sounds coming from the furnace. What sort of sounds are coming from the furnace? Okay, exactly. They do not sound like mechanical sounds. It does not sound like your kids' furnaces at your parents' home. It sounds almost alive.
Let's keep going.
Jess, can I open the walk-up?
We need to save our friends and get it back.
I think we should go through the vents leading through the house where the air goes.
Well, I've checked in all the vents in that vent, and I feel like I've checked all the things on the map.
There are 5 runes that you think could possibly have the torque in them. And remember what the torque was?
It was the golden shroud.
You all need to tell me which 5 rooms in the house, what are the names of these rooms that could possibly have the torque or the golden shroud in them? What's the first room, Will?
The office.
The main chamber. It's just like a very large room where you'd usually have like a family gathering or something like that.
Excellent. Who's next? Who else has a room that that they think the torque could be in?
The throne room.
The Gouldwigs have a throne room? All right, we'll get to that in a moment.
The bedrooms.
Oh, how about we specifically say the master bedroom?
The master bedroom.
I also wanted to say the reason they would have the ninth
most powerful family in Menzor. Mm-hmm.
So they would have a throne room.
Possibly. We need one other room where the torque, the golden shroud could possibly be. Yes, Will.
The locked room.
All of these things are coming from Chris's mind because Chris has spent here lots of time in his childhood, right, Chris?
Yep.
Because Chris has spent here so much time, he has an idea of where they would possibly keep a valuable, important object like the golden shroud, and it would be in possibly one of these 5 rooms, one of them being the locked room where he's never gotten access before.
Maybe there's some sort of hidden room where they've put the golden shroud.
Guys, I think that the locked room is definitely our best bet, but because it's locked, I have an idea. So we'll use the five other places as ways to get the key into the locked room.
No, what about we use the portable hole?
The portable hole. Such a good idea.
Yes, those are all great. You guys are full of good ideas. So the entrance point that you have right now, this opening that you can open and get into the house proper that's from the furnace, this opening is closest to which room, Alex?
The opening is closest to the throne room.
All right.
And I can hear the sound closest to the throne room.
You can hear what?
I can hear something jiggling.
So you think you can hear the golden shroud jiggling itself?
Yeah, like something's like stomping and it's jiggling. Let's follow that jiggle. I can't hear that, the monster thing.
No, I can't hear it either. Because the furnace has gone out, but you hear the latch on the furnace itself. And the door, this small door that is maybe 2 feet by 2 feet, starts to open. And out climbs a pair of mephits. Do you know what mephits are?
No.
Would you like to see a picture of a mephit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's not engage.
I don't want to fight them.
Why would we fight them? They're keeping the furnace lit. Why would we have to fight them?
This right here is a magma mephit. This is a mud mephit. This is a smoke and a steam mephit, so you can see they look like little floating creatures with arms and legs and have little wings and really long pointy noses, but their entire substance is made up of that material. They are elemental beings, and three magma methods climb out of the furnace.
I remember seeing these methods before.
Yeah? Where?
In my childhood.
In your childhood. You've seen Mephits before? That's perfectly acceptable. Sure.
Yeah, I remember.
Flash knows what Mephits look like. So here we are, the six of you standing there, and three magma Mephits climb out of the furnace. And they're speaking in a language that is not common as they're talking to each other. And they have not yet noticed you. What do you do?
Try to hide so that they don't notice us at all.
Let's hide in one of the vents.
I don't want to fight these things. They look hard. Elementals are always hard to beat.
I think we should try and get through the vent without them since they haven't noticed us yet.
Just jump into one of the vent holes.
They're not that hard with a normal sword.
Flash is trying to let y'all know that they're not that hard to kill, but the rest of you scatter like scared rabbits, dashing towards vents that are nearby. Now I need everyone to make stealth checks.
I'm really good with stealth. I have plus 10 to stealth.
Now, tell me, everybody, what your total stealth score was. Don't close your character sheet, bud.
23.
7.
19.
Good job, buddy.
I counted.
Yes, you did. And Sasha.
9.
It is all down to Georgington's roll, because if he fails this stealth check, then you will not be able to hide. If he succeeds at this stealth check, then you all succeed, because two people have currently failed and one person has two people have currently succeeded.
Wait, Georgington.
Georgington.
Georgington. Georgington. Georgington. Georgington. Georgington. Georgington. Georgington.
Georgington has succeeded.
Yes!
You hide in the vents. You dive and duck and swoop and fall into the different venting shafts of the venting system, and the Mephits leave the room. They open up the door that you guys could see that leads closest to the throne room, and they leave the area.
Can we go in?
There's a couple things you can do. One, you can take a look and see inside the furnace itself where the Mephits were, or follow out the Mephits, or you can continue on in some other capacity. What would you all like to do now?
I would like to go out, but I think that we should look first to see if there's anything there. So if anybody has like a light of some sort, that would be pretty helpful right now.
Light. I have light. If you
can, can you shine?
I've killed a Mephit before. If you kill a Mephit, you know how to speak their language, and I know what they say.
Oh, yes. I don't doubt that Flash used to remember such things. He's gotten older, though, and he doesn't remember the language as well as he used to.
He kind of not remembers. Ucha means gladius.
That's super interesting, bud. Okay. Sasha casts her light spell, takes it over, and because Chris has asked for light, what do you do?
I take a look to see if there's anything that could be harmful.
In
the, like, main area where the Mephits were.
Okay, so the Mephits crawled out of this 2-foot by 2-foot furnace opening. When Sasha shines her light inside, you see a whole bunch of glinting and shining. As you can see, there are 6 beautiful diamonds in the furnace itself.
Can I put them in my sword?
You reach out to touch them and they are very, very hot. Too hot to touch with your hands.
Do they go into my sword?
Let's try to maneuver around the diamonds.
Only one goes into my sword.
You can't touch them yet. They're too hot. What did you want to say, Sav?
Maybe DJ might be able to touch them, because dragons usually can breathe fire, so she's been around heat.
Yes, she has resistance to flame a little bit, but it would still hurt her to touch them. But you could always just grab them and put them. But where would you put them that wouldn't burn? They wouldn't burn through, for they are very, very hot.
I think we should just kind of try to step around the diamonds so that we don't burn our feet.
Well, you don't... No, sorry. Maybe I'm not describing it well enough. You know the furnace in your parents' home?
Yeah.
the Mephits were inside a furnace that looked like that. And there's a little opening, a little latch that the furnace
so
the Mephits
like
came
to
out
step
from.
On the diamonds.
You can't get into the furnace. It's too small an opening for you to get in there. So I want you to picture right now that you're in a big ventilation room and the furnace itself, which is really, really hot. The furnace itself.
Daddy, where's the opening?
Yes, it's in one of those areas around there near the throne room.
Where is here?
Don't worry about it. That's just a nice picture for you to get a feel for what the house looks like. Does that make sense for where Chris is standing now? That he's standing in a big chamber that has a whole bunch of
Daddy,
ventilation ports?
The locked room is kind of like here.
Sure. So do you understand where Chris is now a bit better?
Yeah, because I thought we were like in like the pipe that was leading into the furnace, so I didn't really understand.
Yeah, you're in a large room where all those pipes come from. It's very hot in here, and you were able to duck and squeeze and dive into some vents, and there's a large chamber where the furnace is, and these three Mephits have climbed out and now of their little furnace, and they've left the chamber entirely. But inside, there are these six glowing, larger, they're bigger than your fist diamonds that are glowing red hot.
It sucks. Sucks that we can't, like, pick these up because these would be really valuable.
Well, I could use my sword to, like, pick them up on my sword to, like, carry them over there.
Sure, you can try to do that. I mean, I don't know, maybe Sasha has a spell or something that could help.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if Sasha had a spell of like heat resistance or something.
Or maybe she has like some sort of frost bolt or some sort of cold spell that would cool the diamonds.
Yeah.
Well, I have chromatic orb, and chromatic orb can be cast as like certain elements. Yeah. So I could cast a freezing spell, but that might stop all of the heat and warmth in this house, causing people to know where like something's up. And so people might be on our tail very soon.
That's a good point.
Well, then why not only freeze, like, one of the diamonds? Just take one of them.
But
because
if I cast chromatic orb, it's going to send a chromatic orb into the thing, freezing everything in there.
If we could do what Flash said, like, pick one up on his sword and bring it out of there and then have Sasha cast chromatic orb on it after it's out, then that'll ensure that we only get one of them.
Or we could take multiple out, maybe like three. That'd be good.
Well, there's four.
I'd say only like one or two, otherwise there might be a bit of a difference because six isn't all that many.
But has anyone thought that these diamonds are just a trick?
How would they be a trick? They look like the diamonds are being heated up and used to warm the house.
Oh, okay. Let's take, like, two. That should be good.
You start to peel the diamonds out. Georgington says, "This doesn't seem to be what we're here for, though. Are we stealing gems now from the Gouldwicks?"
That is true. I think we should just leave them. They don't really have any value to us, and we need to find the Golden Show and our friends.
Granted, the Gouldwicks have proven our enemy before. I have no problem with taking them, but it does seem like a not nice thing to do. But the Gouldwicks have kidnapped or bought our friends as slaves and stolen the Golden Torque, the Golden Shroud of the Tuffer family.
Guys?
Maybe they had it coming to them.
Did my eyes change color?
Yes.
They changed to glowing red, but not sparkling.
Interesting. We'll figure that out in a moment as to why Flash's eyes are glowing. But DJ wanted to say something first.
We're all awfully good, so this is basically not being awfully good because we're stealing from the Gouldwicks.
Well, I mean, technically we'd be stealing their slaves and what they stole, the Golden Tuffer, so...
So technically we're stealing from them anyway, which we're gonna have to do to get what we want to get.
But we do want them to live a good life, so In the name of Shari, let's not do this.
Flash has already managed to pull out two of the diamonds on his sword. They are glowing hot, and he looks ready for you all to cast your chromatic orb to cool them.
I guess just put one back, okay?
Frost!
He flicks one back into the furnace, managing to keep one on the blade of his sword.
Chromatic!
You cast the spell quietly. The gem cools immediately, so does your sword, and you can now handle that gem very, very easily and put it in a pouch.
And also Let's does my it. Hand.
We can sell that my, gem.
Because, yeah.
Though it'd be worth a lot of money, and then we can split it.
Wait, what color is the gem now?
It is white.
Maybe we could buy your mom a new golden mushroom.
Yeah.
Hey, that is a good point, but wouldn't that be out of Flash's share because he's the one who stole that thing in the first place?
Hmm, maybe.
Flash.
All right. The gem cools.
I'll give her another one.
You can appraise the gem. It is worth probably 5,000 gold.
How much is a golden mushroom?
You have no idea how much a golden mushroom would cost. I feel
like
they'd be
like 6,000. No, she said that. Because Fala said that they were like $4,000 each is what you...
I'm sorry, I don't remember. It's been a couple weeks. Earlier. To remember the specifics about a golden mushroom and a mom's outrage and umbrage. Nonetheless, you have this gem. The door leads outwards. You may go through this door towards the throne room, or you may...
I had a friend that was a dragonborn but lived here.
He lives in the Underdark? That sounds really interesting. Everybody needs to make a decision now. Do you leave through the open door that leads to closest to the throne room, or do you climb through the vents further to go to a different room?
Let's head to the lock room, everyone.
We still have the portable hole to use, though.
I think we should go through the vents. We'll have a lower chance of being spotted that way.
I know where it is because I can see if areas is where it is.
Yes, you know, Christopher knows vaguely how to get there through the vent system. So I will require everybody to make a stealth check, and I'm going to need Christopher, just a regular intelligence check for Christopher to see if he can remember how to get there.
1-3.
Okay, so add 4 to that, buddy.
So and then I'll get his number.
I'm going to need your first your stealth check.
Okay, because I have plus 10 to stealth. So.
First. What 17. Was your?
I got 17 totally.
Great, good job, buddy. What is Christopher's intelligence check to find your way to the locked room?
I got, so for stealth, I got 14. For intelligence, I got 6.
A 6. Okay, a 6 is not a good roll. Now you can roll your stealth check. Sav, what did you get for your stealth check?
20.
And what did you get, Sasha?
A 21.
Perfect. And what did you get, Christopher?
29.
So you stealthily and sneakily crawl through the vents. About half an hour of crawling through vents, you come to a dead end, and Christopher realizes that he is lost. But only Christopher knows this. So you've been crawling for quite some time now. And Christopher, you have forgotten the way through the vents of the house because it's so complicated and it's not in the house itself. You couldn't remember how to get to anywhere near the locked room. What do you do?
Is there any holes nearby where we can climb out and, like, map. You know, like, try and...
Yeah, there are lots of those in a second.
Or we could try to use the portable hole.
Where are we?
To see, like, where we're above or something.
Where are we in the map?
We could use the portable hole to make, like, a hole in the bottom.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can do that anytime.
To see what's below us.
But you don't really know where you are. You're lost. Flash pulls out the hole. Does Christopher tell everyone that he's lost?
Yes, I do admit that I forgot where it was and that we were lost.
It's right here, so, Christopher.
Okay, I want to point out, Will has the map, but your character doesn't have a map. Flash hasn't ever been here before, so he doesn't know where your guys are going. So he has to trust in Christopher's memory, which is granted from quite some time ago. So he's a little confused as to where he is because he didn't roll very well on his memory check. So now you pull out the portable hole and you reveal a hallway. And Christopher does not remember the carpet that is running down this hallway that you can see directly below you. What would you like to do?
I feel like because I'm a tabaxi. So I'm crawling. So I kind of like roll and then like duck my head down. So I'm like on my back and I push my head down through the hole and I look around.
You see several doors and a T intersection at one end of the hallway.
Hey, Chris, take a look at this. And I pop my head out.
You pull your head back out. You are not near the locked room. You are not near the throne room. Which of the other three rooms do you think you are closest to now?
The office.
What does everybody say?
I remember correctly. The sleeping quarters was around here somewhere, so I think we might be closest to the master bedroom.
Does everybody agree with that? Because this is outside. Yeah, you're cool with the master bedroom?
And the office is like, I don't know, five doors down.
So you're closest to the master bedroom. This is where one of the five places you believe that the golden shroud might be. What do you do? You have choices now. You can go and you can leave the vents and you can proceed through to the master bedroom, or you can try to find your way through the vents again with a difficult check to check and find the locked room.
I think we should try to find an opening somewhere because we have to return all these things and that would leave the portable hole stuck in a vent.
Mm-hmm.
So that might not be the best of ideas because it might be difficult to get back. And we have to return all these things. So I think that we should take the portable hole off and try to find like an opening, like one of the ventilation shaft openings.
I agree.
Because I don't really feel like climbing up into the vents again and getting lost while trying to look for a hole that we left sitting in them.
Lord, help us. Lord of Tekayuat, help us.
Sasha finishes sticking her head through the hallway, sees no one is there, pulls her head back so that Chris can stick his head down, and Chris realizes that you guys are really close to
the master bedroom,
which is possibly where the golden shroud is being kept. You have two choices in front of you, or more, depending if you guys can come up with something different.
Room is the most obvious choice.
Right, but you are nowhere near the locked room. You're closest to the master bedroom, so you can continue to pursue where you're going in the vents, or you can climb down and check out the master bedroom.
Climb down and check out the master bedroom.
I think we should just find an opening in the vents that's not that was originally here so that we don't have to leave the portable hole up here because I don't want to get lost in the vents again looking for a hole that we left in the ventilation system.
I agree with Christopher.
There is an opening really close by. An access port that you can pull the little tabs on and open it up into this hallway.
Wait, Daddy, is this a new day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All of your shock and grasp charges are back in your sword.
I have seven.
Yes, you have seven now, and all of them have charged back.
How do I get seven?
You can only charge up to six a day. You can't charge all full seven, so don't use them all up, okay?
I have to use two dodge to get seven.
Yes. Okay, ready, guys? You can pull the hole back up. Flash takes it and puts it back in his pocket, and you go over to the vent and you pull open the tabs for the access port, and all five or six of you drop down into
Daddy, yes. There's I can hear snoring now. Shh. Like upstairs.
You can hear snoring coming from the master bedroom. Well, I didn't ask for a perception check, but so I don't know if Flash is hearing things or if he's being accurate. But the rest of you have managed to get and climb and clamber into the hallway that leads up to the master bedroom. There are doors to the right and left. One of those doors leads to a storage room that would hold like towels and face cloths and bedding, and the other one opens into a bedroom for servants and slaves of the Gouldwick family.
Well, we should check there for our friend.
Sure, yeah. You can definitely
Daddy,
creak that open. Yep.
Also, there's another way to get into the house, open windows.
That would have been a good idea, too, to get into the house. There's not a lot of windows in Menzoberranzan, but you could have gotten into the house that way, too. That's a good point at this point. But now you're standing before the master bedroom. Can somebody describe what the master bedroom door looks like to me?
There's like a golden rim around it, and it's two doors that lead into it.
A double door? And is there a large stained glass picture in the top of the door that opens?
Yeah.
What's the stained glass picture look like?
It's like a symbol of the Goldwick family.
Perfect. On a spider's web, let's say. And what are the colors?
White, blue, and...
gold?
Yeah.
That's great. So, Chris gives a quick little open a nudge to the servant room, the bedrooms, and they are empty. And there is no one inside, for all of the servants are out and about doing their jobs. Maybe it's close to some sort of eating hour here in the Goldwick Manor, and so they are all busy cleaning or prepping or making dinner or lunch. So, what would you like to do with these double doors that lead to the Goldwick Manor master bedroom?
I think that we should try to see if we can somehow look through the stained glass painting just enough to see if there's anyone inside. And if we can't, maybe crack open the door just so little that nobody would notice, but that we can still see inside to see if there's anybody in there.
Does everybody else like the idea of trying to look through the stained glass window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how are you going to do it? Any ideas?
Let's try to peek through the white part. I didn't agree to it.
Okay, what would you like to do, Flash?
I would like... wait, what was it again?
They just want to look through the stained glass window to see inside the master bedroom.
I would have an idea to sneak into there and try to see if it's in there.
Yeah, they want to do that afterwards to see if there's anybody in the room first. Yes.
Maybe Sasha could put Fly on one of us so one of us can try and look through the stained glass window.
That would definitely be an option. However, that is a pretty high-level spell for Sasha, that she doesn't really need to use Fly right now, and nobody would need to use it for the rest of the next hour. So that might be a bit of overkill, but a really good idea nonetheless. Any other ideas?
Well, for what part of the window to look through? I think maybe one of the white parts. Like, they would probably...
how will you get up there to look through it?
My claws are quite sharp. I could maybe scratch onto some of this wallpaper here and climb up.
That's a good option. Any other options?
I suppose, like, one of us could climb on somebody else's shoulders.
That's a perfectly valid option, too.
But all right, what do you want to do? If we fell over, that would make a lot of noise.
There's lots of negatives to any of the choices that you guys are presenting. Any other options that you might present to get a look through this master bedroom window?
Hey, Georgington, what do you think?
Georgington says, well, I would put someone on my shoulders quite quickly and easily. But don't you also have that portable hole?
Yeah, but we can't use it now because if we look through that portal hole...
what if there's someone inside?
That's a very good point.
Check for.
Yes, so maybe the portable hole would be a bad idea since it would create a stir in motion. I gladly will hold someone on my shoulders if you would like. Someone else could assist me, who is very strong and capable in holding one of the lighter individuals.
Now Flash is sleepy.
And Flash is sleepy? All right, well, he doesn't want to climb on somebody's shoulders if he's sleepy. So who's the lightest of the group?
I think it might be me, but I'm not sure.
I think I'm like...
I'm strong, though. I could help hold somebody up.
Mm-hmm. What's your character's strength?
My strength is... 17.
It's very strong. What's your strength, DJ?
19.
So we have a 17 and we have a 19. So you're probably very strong and probably not exceptionally light as a result, Chris. What is Sasha's strength?
10.
So not the strongest of characters. And also she's not wearing any armor other than mage armor. So yeah, let's say that Sasha is the lightest because she's not wearing any armor and she's a cat person. So you can easily climb up onto somebody's shoulders and look inside the master bedroom. Is that what you guys would like to do?
Yes.
Excellent.
Sure.
So you climb up onto the shoulders and you look in through the white part and you see inside a large king-sized bed with a beautiful wooden canopy on the top of it. There is several dressers and drawers and whatnot. And on a large...
Daddy, I took off my armor.
Why did Flash take off his armor?
Because I thought this mission would be not fighting mission.
I'm going to suggest that Flash still has his armor on because he didn't take it off beforehand. This is an important mission. Lots of combat to erupt. We'll continue from here. Sasha, you see upon a dressing table a shining golden neck piece that looks exactly like this on a nice, beautiful velvet stand that is in front of a mirror.
Is anyone in?
No, there is no one in the master bedroom.
Is the door locked?
You haven't checked that yet, but I will tell you, there are also two other entrances or exits from or into this master bedroom. She climbs back down. Does Sasha relay all this information?
The golden shroud, guys. We have to get in there. And then go find our friends. And then leave. I do never want to see this place ever again.
She tries the door. It is locked.
No, I could try the pick lock.
Absolutely. Go for it, Christopher. You pull out your pick lock tools. Are your pick lock tools also the same gem finding tools that you had when you were a kid?
Yes.
And they have the same engraved inscription on them that you used to use?
Yeah. Aww. So I mainly use like the pointy one that's meant to be where you like stick it under the gem to reave it out. I use that to pick lock stuff because it's long and pointy.
And another one as well to hook and to pull all of the prongs. Okay, yes. Definitely make your check to unlock the bedroom door.
What is it?
You'll roll a d20 and then we'll add your lock picking ability to it. It's probably going to be connected to your sleight of hand because it'll be dexterity plus your proficiency skill. So roll it up.
So it's my sleight of hand bonus?
You have your proficiency bonus, which is 3, plus your dexterity bonus, which is plus 4, right?
Yeah.
So that's plus 7 total?
Yeah, that's what it says on here is plus 7 to sleight of hand.
Well, we're not making a sleight of hand check. This is a lockpick check. So you're using your proficiency total, okay?
So the total... Yeah, so that's 20.
Perfect. That is more than enough. The lock trembles and clicks in your hands. The door swings open silently. The other door stays there because it's one of those doors that has a lever in the bottom that's pushed into the floor. So it doesn't open. Just the one half of the door opens. The door opens to your touch upon the room inside. Do all of you go into the room?
I go in for sure. I'm not sure about you guys, but I went in.
Maybe one or two of us should.
How about we have Flamma and Georgington keep an eye on the doorway and everybody else goes
Flamma's
into the room?
Not here.
I think that we should check to see if like there are any like traps on like the place where the golden shroud is being held. If there's like something where when you pick it up it sets off an alarm. And then we can use the disabler, the one to dispel magic.
Okay.
If there is one.
You guys have a little discussion about necessarily checking for traps and seeing if you need to use the disabler. And you go over there. And I would really like it if everyone would make an arcana check. So roll the d20 for arcana.
I don't have arcana, I think.
That's right, you don't. But you roll it anyway. Roll it up, guys, and let me know what your total result is with your Arcana and Sav. If you could just help Will know what his plus to add to that roll that he made is.
17.
13.
18.
Cool. So the two ghouled children have succeeded because they see there's something not right about this golden torque that is on this velvet stand. It does not seem to be correct. There's something wrong about it. Can you tell me what's wrong about it?
It doesn't... Hey, Christopher, look at the centerpiece. It's supposed... This...
You're right. There's definitely something wrong with it.
The center part, it's awfully large and endeavorous.
Yeah, it was definitely smaller before.
Yeah, you start to notice that there's something wrong with this particular golden shroud, that it doesn't look exactly like the family one that was lost. How close are you to the golden shroud?
I start to back up.
Okay, because you were pretty close at that point?
Yeah, me too.
All right, you start to back up. And that's when this golden shroud erupts into this amorphous, blobby sort of gelatin thing. In fact, it wasn't just the shroud. That whole table, the entire dressing table, was all part of the same creature that just looked like the golden shroud. In fact, it was a mimic of the golden shroud, because you are about to go into combat with a mimic.
And that is the end of the game.
For this week, indeed. We'll take it up next time.
Wait, isn't my birthday a day but we have to do D&D?
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods. Head over the river and through the woods.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with another episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. You can find the Okie Dokie Brothers on iTunes at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes, and you can also find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. Thanks for listening.
If you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. Round up the troops, and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets in these neighborhoods. Head over the river.